Well, good morning. How's everybody doing? It's kind of quiet. That's all right, though. It's all right. It's still early. It's 10. It's kind of early. I was meeting with a friend of mine earlier this week, and it's actually Chad Krober. He's in here somewhere, or maybe he just left. But we were talking. He was one of the first people I talked to when we started just kind of dreaming and listening to God about Journey Church. And I realized that it was like almost a year and a half ago that we started having conversations about that. And I was just reminded in my conversation with him and even like with what Lori just shared of how grateful and thankful I am for the part the different people are playing here at Journey Church. And you kind of get to see, you know, a worship team up here, and I'm up here every once in a while. But there's a lot of, like, unseen faces. There's a couple guys in the back that make sure that we don't sound too bad when we're up here, and they're doing all sorts of stuff behind the scenes that we don't even realize. And I don't know if you realize it, but, like, we don't have little elves that set up the goodies and stuff, but Patrick actually makes the coffee back there and does a great job. And even, like, with our kids, they don't just go back and just play in the jungle gym, although they wish they could. They wish that's all that they did. But they get to hear about Jesus at their level. And I just wanted to not only express gratitude, you know, publicly, but if you're in here and you play a part in one of those things, know that you're being thanked, and we really appreciate the part that you're playing. I do feel like I owe everybody an apology. Last week, I talked about going and spending time with the young adults and playing some games, and we were going to watch a Seahawks game, and I believe I said something to the effect of, I guarantee that the Seahawks would win. So your pastor kind of can't predict the future. I didn't lie. I just maybe misread my opportunity. And we're in the middle of a series called Intentional. It's actually the last week of this series, and I know you're probably sitting there just thinking to yourself, oh good, because if I hear him say on purpose, for purpose, one more time, I'm just going to be done with this whole thing. But we've been just talking about how we can be intentional, how Jesus, the best that Jesus expects from us, that it doesn't just happen, that these things just don't happen, but we need to be intentional about them. And we looked at how we can maybe identify the things that God wants us to be intentional about by better understanding his will, by gaining wisdom, and then submitting ourselves to it. And then last week, we just spent some time taking all of this big idea about being intentional and trying to figure out how do we then translate that into our real lives. Where does the rubber meet the road when we're talking about being intentional? And so we talked about that a little bit. And today we're going to kind of finish it all off with another kind of hopefully practical way that we can be intentional in our lives and intentional in our relationships. Now, as we've already mentioned this morning, you're probably aware that Christmas is coming. And there's like just some different signs of the change to the season. Like I was at Costco the other day. Because apparently when you get tires put on your car at Costco, you got to get there early. So I made sure I was there early so I would be front of the line. But people start lining up at Costco early, like as if it was Black Friday, but it was just like a normal Thursday. But they started lining up because they were getting excited to start buying some stuff because Christmas is coming and Black Friday is coming and the ads are going to be out in a couple days. And I'm not a big like Black Friday guy, but it's a sign of a season that's coming. And when we were in Rwanda, we experienced this not in the same way. They don't have Black Friday in Africa, but that's more of an American thing, I think. But it was funny because they only had two like weather seasons. They had the rainy season and the dry season. So either it was hot and hot, or it was just hot and muggy. And you could always tell when the rainy season was coming because as you drove around in Kigali, the city where we lived, or out in the countryside, you began to see people start tilling the soil. And they didn't have, you know, tractors or rototillers or even like a mule and a plow pulling behind it. But you just see people walking around with their hoe, like going out to the field and spending a day just hacking into the dry earth. And you just knew it because they would do it about a week or two before the rainy season would start. And they would just start just tilling up the soil, and you're just like, oh, they know the rainy season's coming. And, you know, every time, it would just start right after that. And it was great because I would use the farming when I would teach, whether it was at a church or when I was talking with pastors, I would use farming as an analogy. because it was an analogy that everybody understood, whether it was like a highly educated person in their culture and society or the lowest person on the totem pole. They all understood the concept of farming because they'd experienced it, they'd seen it, and everyone comes from a humble background in that place. And so today we're going to look at a passage that talks about farming, because Paul, similarly, he used an analogy, he used a metaphor that a lot of people would understand. In the letter we're going to look at today, the passage we'll look at, he was kind of speaking to a couple of different groups of people in this church that had maybe a different opinion or different view on something, but he wanted to find common ground. And so he used something that they would all understand. And even though maybe for us, we aren't all farming people, we haven't all worked the plow or, you know, all that stuff. But it's still, for us, it's still an analogy and a metaphor that I think will make a lot of sense and will be helpful for us today. And also, I think we all come from a variety of either backgrounds or experiences, or even in our own lives, we're going to be talking about relationships. We're at different stages and phases of relationship here in this place. But by looking at a story that can apply to all, I think we'll all walk away with a better understanding of how we can advance in our relationships. So if you brought a Bible, open up to Galatians chapter 6. If you didn't bring a Bible but you got a smartphone, you can download that Bible app. Or we usually put the words up on the screen too, so you can read it up there. I said Galatians, right? Okay, Galatians chapter 6. My Bible's open to Ephesians, but that's because it's 6 is at the end of Galatians. So it's Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. And it says this. Paul says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." So again, Paul is writing to two groups in here, and they're just trying to decide whether or not one group needs to follow all the Jewish laws in order to be saved, or whether or not they can just rely on the grace of Jesus Christ to save them. And we're not going to dive into that today, but we're going to look at this analogy and this metaphor, the simple truth that Paul points out in this passage when he says, "You will always harvest what you plant." I mean, it's a pretty simple concept. We all get that, right? It's like you put a corn seed into the dirt and you start watering it, you're not going to get like an avocado tree or, you know, any other fruit or vegetable you might think of. You're going to get a corn plant. So what you sow is what you're going to harvest. And sowing and reaping, it's a biblical concept that we see often. Jesus talked about it in one of his parables about sowing. But I think it's really meaningful in the context of our relationships, which is what we're going to talk about today. Because here's the truth that I want us to walk away from today, and we're going to unpack it together a little bit, is that what we reap in our relationships is determined by what we sow. That what we reap in our relationships is determined by what we sow. And it's not limited to like a brother-sister relationship or a coworker relationship, husband and wife relationship, mother-daughter, father-son relationship. It's in all relationships that what we reap in our relationships is determined by what we sow. And if we think about this sowing and reaping and farming, we kind of have a basic understanding of how it works, right? I mean, it's like you take a seed, you put it in the dirt, and you pour water on it and wait. And eventually something's going to come out of there that you want, right? Because you put it in there. But as we look at this idea of sowing into our relationships, we're going to try and understand it both from kind of the context of farming, because that's our reference point. But then let's also see, how does that apply into, if we're going to try to sow into our relationships, if we're going to try to add into our relationships so that what we reap will be what we sow. in those relationships. So let's just talk about, I got four things that I think are important when it comes to sowing into our relationships, things that, we maybe understand, but we need to look at in the context of, relationships. The first is that sowing is intentional. I mean, it doesn't just happen, right? You don't just walk around with seeds falling out of our pocket. I don't even walk around with seeds in my pocket. So it doesn't just happen, but it's the best that Jesus expects from us. And we talked about this before, that the best that Jesus expects from us, it doesn't just happen. It doesn't happen by accident. And it's the idea that you can't reap what hasn't been sown. I mean, obviously, if we're talking about planting and we want corn, we have to sow corn if we want corn, because you can't reap what you don't sow. The last three Sundays, we've talked about a passage in Matthew 25, and I know you're probably sick and tired of hearing about this passage, but it was a parable that Jesus taught in Matthew 25, and it was about, I'm not going to tell the whole story, I'm just going to say one little quick thing about it. I've retold it like three times, and so you're probably tired of it, but basically a master leaves, and he entrusts things to his servants, his three servants, and the two of them, they use what he entrusted, and the third one, he didn't. The third one, he just buried what it was entrusted to him, and he just left it, and nothing happened with it. You see, the reality is that our relationships, the people in our lives, our husbands and our wives, our children, our parents, our coworkers, those are people and things that have been entrusted to us by God. The things that he entrusts to us are not limited to like our finances or our abilities or our possessions. But it's relationships fit into that category as well. And so our relationships have been entrusted to us. And if we think about what happened in that story, the guy, the third servant, he just took what was entrusted to him and he buried it. And nothing happened. And when the master came back, he just gave him what he had. Nothing had changed. And the master was frustrated because he didn't take what was entrusted to him and use it to the best of his ability. I mean, what if the master had entrusted to that all these guys seeds? You know, like for a harvest, and he didn't do anything with them. The other guys, they reaped a harvest, but he did nothing with it. You see, we can't reap what hasn't been sown. And if we do nothing in our relationships, if we don't make any effort, if we're not intentional at all, we can't expect to harvest or to reap anything, because we have to be intentional. We have to put something into it. So the second thing about sowing is that it takes work. It takes work. So when I was, again, when we were in Africa and rainy season was coming, and you see these people go out with their hoes, and you realize that they don't have like anything that's going to make this job any easier. I mean, I'm always looking for shortcuts, like ways to make the job much easier. I mean, I love wheelbarrows. I love the fact that someone invented the wheel so we can have things like that, just to make jobs easier so I'm not having to haul firewood back and forth as many loads, just simple ways to make things easier. But the reality is that relationships take work, that being intentional in relationships takes work, and to sow seeds into our relationships take work. Wouldn't it be nice if there was like an app for that? One of my life goals, this is just a little tangent, but it'll be quick. One of my life goals is to like design an app, but I have no idea how to do that. But I'm just going to come up with the idea, and then I'm going to let one of these smart guys that computer sciences, I know there's a couple of them in here, that they can help me design this app. So it takes work. Now, the third thing about sewing is that it takes time. It takes time. I mean, when we plant a seed, there's no instant results. And we live in like in a microwavable society. I mean, we want our things now, right? I mean, ask any like coach who's coaching at like a high level, like at a collegiate level, Pac-12 or in the NFL, and they're having a rough season. Ask the coach who's coaching for the Beavers this year if our society has kind of a win now mentality. Like we want things now. But the reality, again, is that sowing and the reaping of what we sow, it takes time. And so, I mean, the idea that we would want to see change in people, in our family or in our kids, those don't happen instantaneously. They don't happen in an instant, but rather they happen over time, just as our own transformation does. And you see, when we get in a rush, we can sometimes, especially in the waiting, we can get frustrated. I mean, maybe you've been there, where maybe you've really wanted something, or you've really had expected something, or you'd hoped for something, and it just hasn't happened yet. It just hasn't happened in the time that you thought it would happen. And you can become frustrated, and you can want to maybe point fingers or blame either a person or God. But what we need to understand is that although God isn't always on our time, God is always on time. I mean, it says it in Galatians 6, verse 9. We read about it. It says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good, because at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. And that time doesn't get to be determined by us, but rather by the Father. And so when we're investing and when we're sowing into our relationships, it takes time. And it takes being patient, which really leads to the last one, the fourth one, that, as we talk about sowing. And that is that sowing, it takes faith. Because there are elements that are beyond our control. And let me go back again to the farmers that I observed when we were in Rwanda. Because here's a location, a society, a culture that they don't have some of the same advantages that we have there. So they would till their soil, they would plant their seeds, they would wait, and then they would just have faith, expecting that at some point it would rain. You see, I grew up in Eastern Washington in a farming community, and I've traveled back and forth between here. I don't know if you'd passed by some of those places that have like those big circle fields where they have the irrigation sprinklers that just circle around and spray water. There's not as much faith involved in that type of farming because you have the water that you could just pour into the seeds yourselves. And often we try to do that. We try to water the seeds that we're sowing ourselves. But what we need is just maybe a little bit more faith and an understanding that there are some elements that are out of our control. And that no matter what we do or how hard we try, we just have to trust in God. That He will do what only He can do in the relationships that we find ourselves in. That someday the rain will come. In 6:9, in Galatians 6:9, I'm just going to read it again because I didn't get to the end part. He says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So, that, I mean, there's a promise in there, but there's also an if. If we don't give up. And depending on where you find yourself this morning in your relationships, I mean, again, that's kind of the nice thing about what we're talking about is it's not limited to like just father and son relationships or best friends relationships, husband and wife relationships. But it's likely that in a room this size, that probably all of us, or at least a few of us, have a relationship that is in turmoil, that's in a struggle, that's in a place that is not ideal. And then maybe you've even found yourself doing some of these things, like sowing good things into relationship. We'll talk about maybe some ways and things you could do that. But the waiting has been hard. The work has been hard. And it almost feels like the only option you have left is to give up. It's like, I've tried all of these things, but I just think I'm going to give up. And I was with a friend just a few weeks ago. And it was a friend who'd shared some things with me and just his own personal struggles and how those things had affected the relationship with his spouse. And I imagine that there were times in what he shared that both he and his spouse thought, man, I've done hard work. I've sowed stuff into this relationship. But I feel like I just got to give up. And it was great because I was able to celebrate with him a few weeks ago because he came to me and he said, man, I've seen a change in myself. Like these things that I've been praying for, this 180 that I've been hoping for, it's happening. And he didn't say this, but the thought came into my mind, I'm so glad you didn't give up. I'm so glad you didn't let go but that you continued on, that you persevered. Because the blessing there, the harvest of blessing is there if we don't give up. And I know, I realize that that's easy to say from up here. But I encourage you, if you find yourself in a place like that, to don't give up. And kind of along those lines, I'm going to just skip ahead to something else that I wanted to talk about, and I'll talk about it again at the end. But last week, we passed out these really nice little bookmarks, because we talked about just some real-life ways that we can begin to bless people, to begin engaging in life with people who have a real need for Jesus and do that in real life. And as I thought about this week and I thought about what I'd be sharing about relationships and in our relationships, when we have struggles, when there's pain, when there's conflict, when we're not connecting the way that we maybe feel like we should or did in the past, I thought, man, the stuff on this card is the stuff for relationships. And it's not going to come up on the screen, but it says the first thing to do is to begin with prayer. I will pray for the people in my life and the places I am in. And so what if we began to just pray for the people we're in relationship with? Not just those who have a need for Jesus, but those that maybe where our relationship is struggling. I mean, that's the best starting point and one of the most powerful things we can do for the people that mean the most to us. And the next thing it says is to listen. I will listen to the needs of others and discover the places where God is at work. I mean, how are we listening to those that we're in relationship with? Are we identifying the needs that they have? Or are we really kind of focused on the own needs and struggles that maybe we're having? The next is to eat. I will share a meal and spend time with people in my life. I thought, man, this is perfect, especially if it's if it's with a spouse. And to go out on a date and get out of the normal routine, but go into an environment that's different, like a fresh start. And the fourth one is to serve. That I will respond to the needs of others and help them in practical and impactful ways. Because if we've been listening to the people we're in relationship with and we've been spending time with them, we're going to identify maybe some needs, some ways that we can serve them that will be impactful. And not just to serve them, but to as a demonstration of love, as a way to not give up, but to serve them. And then the last thing was to tell your story, to share the story of Jesus and what he's doing in my life. And if we're having those kind of conversations with people that we're in relationship with, whether it's our kids or our spouse or our coworkers, if we're talking about what Jesus is doing in our life, I mean, that's powerful stuff. And if Jesus is doing things in your life, that's good stuff. That's going to be an encouragement. It's going to be kind of the capstone, I think, of bringing people back together. So I'm going to talk about that again at the end, but I just felt like that really fit in well with when we're just talking about this idea of don't give up. As he said, we'll reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And I think with this whole thing, we could also maybe just get a little discouraged, thinking, man, what am I supposed to do? I'm just me. I don't even have that much to offer. I don't even know what I could sow into someone's relationship. But it's interesting that, again, it's really not all about us. If you flip forward into Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, I love what Paul says here. He says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. So it's the work of God in us. It's not the work that we are doing, but it's God's work in and through us that he says to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. So even when we're the most overwhelmed in our relationships, our relationships are the most challenging, God can do infinitely more through us than we could even ask, think, or imagine. So the question for us is, what do we sow? So we've talked about this idea of farming, that it takes work, that it needs to be intentional, that it takes time, and that the fourth thing was that it takes faith. But what is it that we sow into relationships? And I think Paul gives us an idea if we flip back in Galatians to chapter 5. I think he kind of gives us some clues on how it kind of works. Oh, wait. Stay there at Galatians chapter 6. Because in verse 8, he says something there that we just already read. He said, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. I mean, he's talking about harvesting. He's talking about reaping. And we know that what we reap is what we sow. And so he says that if you're harvesting death and decay, well, you must have been kind of sowing some of those things into it. If you're harvesting life, then you were probably sowing life by the Spirit. Because we can either sow one of two things, I think. We can either sow like out of selfishness, out of like our own personal desires, or we can sow, as Paul described it, out of the Spirit. And so back in chapter 5, he gives us an idea of what that kind of looks like. And he starts in verse 16 in chapter 5. He says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves, that selfish nature within us. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. They even use the word intentional in there. And I lost my spot. There we are. Okay. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. Now listen to these two next two parts, because I think these parts kind of describe what it maybe looks like when we're sowing out of selfishness or when we're sowing by the Spirit. Verse 19 says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. The fruit is clear. The harvest is clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasure, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. I counted them up. There's like 15 that he lists there. Half of them, like 8 of them, are like relational type things that we maybe sow into our relationships. It starts with like hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy. Those things, when we sow that into our relationships, that's what we're going to reap out of our relationships. But Paul goes on and in verse 22 he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things. And when we're sowing these things into our relationships, when we're sowing love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control into our relationships, we're going to see the fruit of that in our relationships. And it's what I think God intends for us to be intentional about. I was on Facebook this week. And I saw these things that everybody's doing. It's all the rage now, apparently, at least for a week. There are people are like, they use this app, and it takes all your words that you post on Facebook, and it creates this word art thing on there. And like, then the words you use the most are really big, and then maybe the ones you don't use so much, it kind of fills it in. It looks kind of cool and gives a representation of who you are. And I was like, oh, I maybe want to try it, but I get nervous about stuff like that. Like, I'm not going to push okay because then it's going to post something. Like, what if my biggest word is, like, embarrassing? And so I didn't do it. And then and they had one of these things before. Like, it was, like, a year ago. I don't know if you remember it. And I don't get on Facebook that often. But it was the same sort of thing where, like, it's this program that it takes all your pictures and events from the last, like, maybe the whole time you've been on Facebook. And it makes this cool collage and montage with song my life, it was just. And I was like, I'm going to do it. Everybody did it. And I clicked on it and said, you don't have enough life to do it. It's like, there weren't enough pictures or posts. Like, you haven't lived enough to earn a montage. It was frustrating. And so I didn't do the word art one. Because I thought that's what the result would be. Like, you don't even post enough. It's like going to be 2 words. That's not even going to look cool. But here's the thing is you look at that and it gives this really cool representation of a person. Like you see like the words like love or the names of their kids or something that's been going on or relevant in their life for the past few years. And as I thought of it, I thought, man, what if in our relationships, if we kind of created some of those things? Like, for example, with my spouse, what if the things that I sow into my spouse were created into this word art? And would I want to, like, share that on Facebook? Would I want to share that with people? Would it be, like, peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness? Or would it be jealousy, division, dissension, selfish ambition? Man, it just made me stop and pause and think about how can I be intentional about what I am sowing into that relationship? And it's the same with my kids. And as the longer I live and the more relationships that I'm in and the better my hindsight is, like hindsight is 20/20. I feel like mine's even better than 20/20 sometimes when I look back at my life. I can see the seeds that I sowed in the fruit of the relationships I'm in. And maybe you've been there before. Like, it's like you can see where, like, maybe selfish ambition in my relationship had and how that produced maybe not so great fruit, or how joy, when sown into my relationship, really produced some joy in that relationship. And you know, and it's funny because it's not just limited to, like, our actions and the words that we say, but even, like, the way that we think. And it's funny because, like, our thoughts, they don't really sow into our relationship with our spouse, because our thoughts maybe don't necessarily directly impact our spouse or our kids or our coworkers, but they certainly do affect us. I had a pastor one time say that stinking thinking leaves you sinking. Say that like seven times fast. But it's so true that when we let our mind go to places that it doesn't need to go, or to thoughts or to attitudes or to disappointment or whatever, it, even though it doesn't directly impact that person, it does through us, because it's impacted us and it's changed us. So even our thoughts, we can be sowing by our thought life positively into the people we're in relationship with. So here's kind of the last part. It's just like, how do we move from this idea into real life? And that's what we talked about last week. How do we take an idea of sowing into, like, our relationships and move that into real life? Well, as you know, like we talk about here often, it's a lot of times it's about taking next steps. And I've got a few next steps here that I'm going to share with you, and that I'd encourage you to take advantage of and to try. And then nothing super complicated or even beyond what I've already said, but it's just about being intentional and doing something. So I'm going to have the worship team come back up. So the first next step would be to commit to memory that Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, where Paul lists the fruit of the Spirit and begin to identify some of those things that you could be sowing into, and maybe even adding into that list, because it's not an exhaustive list of the good things that we could be sowing into our relationships. But I would encourage you to consider committing that to memory. The next would be to look at the relationships, or to look for relationships to sow into. And maybe you find yourself in a place where, man, I feel like all my relationships are really pretty good, but how could I be sowing into them even better? And maybe you find yourself in an area of complication in some of your relationships. Well, how can I be sowing into those? And maybe you find yourself in a place where a relationship, a specific one, is a big struggle. How can you begin sowing into that? And this is where I was going to do that card again. Because we passed these out yesterday, and there's more on that table. If you were gone last week, we passed them out last week, and you can grab one on the way out. But maybe this is the next step for you with a relationship that you've identified. And it could be one that's in good standing or one that needs some work. But begin to pray for that person. Begin to listen to that person. Eat with that person. Serve that person. And share your story of what God's doing with that person. Easy enough? Sounds easy, but let's pray and ask God for the help that we'll need. God, we are grateful and thankful today that you can do and accomplish more than we could ask, think, or imagine. That you can do and accomplish in within us and also through us, God. I'm just reminded of what you said, Jesus, in John 15, where you said, I am the vine and you are the branches. That if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. God, I ask that you would help us to not go into this thing as solo commanders, trying to just accomplish this on our own, to be intentional, to work real hard, wait real long, never give up, but also never ask you for help. Because God, if we're trying to do any of these things apart from you, that it's going to all become nothing. So would you come, Lord Jesus, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, would you work in and through us as we identify relationships that we can be sowing into? God, because we want to see good fruit. We want to experience good fruit in our relationships. And we know that it's by your strength and by your grace that those things would happen. So I just pray that encouragement and strength and blessing upon myself and my friends here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Quote this week, it was by Robert Louis Stevenson, and he said, don't judge the day by the harvest, but judge it by the seeds planted. And I was speaking with a friend the other day, and they were talking about their kids and just some of the challenges that they face, and I just reminded this person that our relationships, especially with like our kids, that it's not a sprint, but that it's a marathon, and that, you know, it's going to take time. You know, don't give up. But just keep sowing that seed in there. And I thought as I was sitting here today, just during this song and thinking about, again, some next steps. Let me give you one more. And that is, and maybe you're here today and there's you just have feel like you need more than you've got for what you're going through. And you maybe want some prayer. We've got some fantastic people who have stepped up in our church with a willingness to just be available to pray for people. And so after the service, they're just going to kind of hang over on the left side of the hut over here. And just be available. Nicest people in the world. If you feel like, man, I could just use prayer for a relationship. If I could use prayer for anything, it doesn't have to be a bit related to what we've talked about today. But it's an amazing next step to step out and be prayed for. So if that's something that you're needing today, I encourage you to take advantage of that. And it's going to be available ongoing. We're hoping to be able to offer that every Sunday. And then as you go, I invite you to come back next week. I really invite you to come back next week. We're starting a new series about hope, the arrival of hope. And that is Jesus when he came as we go through Advent and as we head towards Christmas. And I'm excited because a good friend of mine, a great friend of mine, and a mentor of mine, Pastor Sean McNay, who used to pastor a church in Newburgh. He's going to be here next Sunday and he'll be sharing with us. So if you're around after Thanksgiving, if you're not too full, if you can get off the couch from watching football, I encourage you to not only come, but who could you invite? Who could you invite that needs to hear a message of hope as we head towards Christmas and beyond? So I pray that God will bless you guys this week. Thanks for joining us.